In the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Yeah, I think so. We'll have to see how he is today and moving forward, but I feel good about him. He hasn't played in over a year now, so we just got to get him back in the groove of being physical and making the checks and understanding where he's at and kind of go from there.
Welcome into Purple Access. Judd Zolgad, Star Tribune sports columnist Chip Scoggins, executive producer Declan Goff, brought to you by our friends, or presented by our friends at Surly Brewing. If you watch this show or consume it via podcast, you know that I'm a fan of the Surly Furious, and so is my buddy Chip Scoggins. Also, TCL Televisions. Enjoy more with TCL. If you're watching football this weekend, make sure that you do it on a TCL. That, of course, Mike Zimmer talking about the status of Anthony Barr, who I guess last week before the Browns game decided I ain't playing. And now he's supposed to come back from a knee injury to play against Detroit on Sunday. Let's start there, Chip Scoggins. How much of a difference after he has missed more than a year now do you think Anthony Barr can make stepping back into the defense?
Judd, I don't know. Because it's been so long since he played. I just don't know what realistically you can expect from a guy who has missed that long of football. I mean, I can't even imagine what his football shape's like. You can practice all you want. It's not the same. And, obviously he'll bring some things that Zimmer covets in terms of the mental and making checks and all that. But in terms of just tackling, when's the last time he's tackled someone to the ground or had to go full speed, play after play after play? So I don't know what the expectations are, and I don't know really. I would have to imagine he's going to be on a pitch count, right? I mean,
yes.
It's probably going to be limited, but I don't know. You could sit here and really say with any confidence that you expect that he's going to be his normal self, whatever. I don't even know what his normal self is anymore because I haven't seen him play in so long.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think you're right. The interesting thing, too, is, okay, they gave up 14 points, right, to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So like, I think a lot of people were, well, statistically, the defense played. Can we talk about, we covered a team with the Williams wall, okay? And I'm not saying that I expected, because he's hurt now, Michael Pierce, who I think is going to be out for a while, and Dalvin Tomlinson to be Kevin and Pat. But they are, in every game so far, their opponent has exceeded 100 yards rushing. Every time you watch a team run up the A gap, they get a chunk, like 3 or 4 yards minimum.
Yeah.
I hesitate to be like, well, the defense only gave up 14 points. Cleveland controlled the game because they controlled the clock, which needs to be discussed, I think, in dissecting that loss.
Yeah, and the way Zimmer talked about it, he said, we did so many great things. Well, one, if Baker Mayfield wasn't god-awful that day, I think they would have – I don't know how many points they would score. He was just terrible. I mean, the Browns won in spite of him, not because of him. I mean, that's how bad he was. But, Joe, when you look at the stats, they're – and I know it's 4 game versus 16, but they're giving up more rushing yards this year than they did last year per game. It's like 135 yards per game. I think last year was 134. So
yep.
That to me has been probably the most, I don't know if surprising development is the right word, but I thought they would be a lot better against the run. I thought when you added Tomlinson and Pierce I agree. It wasn't going to be the Williams wall, but as I tweeted during the game, to see them get gashed like that against the run with the Williams wall in the building, for Kevin,
yes,
and Pat was there. It was,
yes.
I'm sure they were sitting here. I would have loved to have been sitting by Pat and listen to what he said, watching some of those runs.
There would have been a lot of words to begin with S, and they all would have been 4 letters in the exact same word.
Yeah, that's right. No, they've got to be better. And I don't know if Barr will clean it up or help that, but the yards that they're giving up, and then, I still think they're vulnerable in the air. I mean, Breland, I have to assume that is Cam Dantzler's job now, right? He has to be the starter going forward.
Yeah, except he's in quarantine, and we don't know if he's going to test. Because he's vaxxed. So I think he needs two negative tests within 48 hours, but, I mean, that might be.
But he's missing practice time, yeah. So
yeah,
I don't,
true.
But if Breland is – they said he was sick or whatever, he didn't play. I don't know what the rationale or what the reason is. But I just think Dantzler, you have to give him a chance now because Breland's just getting – he's getting picked on. So,
yes.
But yeah, that's been the biggest surprise. And so, I don't think, you know, Zimmer was, mostly complimentary of his defense, except for the one run at the end of the first half, which was
inexcusable.
Well, and Everson said they were expecting pass in that situation. There was less than 0% chance that the Browns were going to run in that situation or pass in that situation. I mean, 3rd and 20, no timeouts. They were not going
to. They were trying to kill the clock.
They were just running. Yeah, they were going around the clock and go because they were getting the ball start the second half, and they didn't want to have an incompletion, have to punt. So there was no chance they were going to throw the ball. So I don't know. Yeah, but that's to me has been probably one of the biggest eye openers, just how much teams have been able to run on him.
Yeah, and my thing is, I think that the thing that offends me the most is how they get gashed again for 3 or 4 yards up the middle like that. You signed two guys because here's my frustration there, Chipper. You signed Dalvin Tomlinson at the expense of a guard, for instance, like so that directly impacts. So your defensive line better be damn stout. Like it better be good. And it better be good against good teams. Don't give me, you know, well, we played Detroit and, you know, we told you we'd beat Detroit.
Yeah.
When you're playing Cleveland, which and here's the other thing, and this goes back to the San Francisco loss in the playoff game. You got your ass kicked that day by the lines. The lines up front. San Francisco was tougher than you on both sides. And it's still not fixed. Still not fixed. And if you're not good, like, that's a Pop Warner coaching philosophy. We got to be good up front. You know why it's a philosophy? Because it's true.
Yeah, and you look at what the Browns have done, and they're good along both those lines.
Yep.
And that team's pretty good, Judd. I mean, the quarterback was awful. And what's weird was I looked before the game. Mayfield's completion percentage was identical to Cousins. So it's not like he hasn't been an accurate passer this year. I don't know how many shots he's taking down the field, if it's more of those screens and kind of, but he's been accurate. So for whatever reason, he just went haywire on something.
He's hurt too.
Yeah. I saw a thing where he has like a bicep. Yeah. He's got some, that might've contributed to, cause he was just overthrowing guys.
He was terrible.
But yeah, I mean that game, both sides was one up front. I mean, the defensive line just absolutely smothered Cousins. What did PFF have? 22 pressures.
So more than that.
22 out of 41 dropbacks, I think he had pressures, which was the most of any quarterback in the league that week. And then I just thought the offensive line and being able to establish the run against the Vikings front was a difference. I mean, that – and we've seen – you're right. You go back to the San Francisco loss. We've seen those games where they lose along the line, both lines, and then they just have no – I don't say they had no chance because they, you know, they had a chance to tie it there, but it just felt like that game was more lopsided than a one score game Sunday.
Yeah. It's frustrating, I think, to see this team because of how they're supposed to be built, get physically dominated, and Cleveland did it. San Francisco did. It's not a weekly occurrence, but when it happens, it's really good teams. And you're like, okay, if that's the template to be a really good team, why aren't you there? And that's the thing about the Cleveland run game that frustrated you. You spent all this money for these two guys, and it didn't really work.
No. And it on that side, but also on the offensive line side, it goes – that game showed you again in stark imagery what happens when you face a good defense. That line can't hold up, and Cousins can't overcome it. And the two things, Cousins needs a run game to be at his most effective, and he needs protection. And when you face a good line and that goes away, this is what happens. He went back to looking skittish. He had no time. it seemed like every time he dropped back, somebody was on top of him. And he just it looked like Kirk from last year when he's under pressure. And again, like you said, it's not going to happen like that every week, because the last 2 weeks I thought the offensive line's been good. But when you face a good team, I think their offensive line is not going to be consistent enough to avoid games like that.
Yeah,
it won't be every week, but there's going to be a handful of these that pop up, and you're like, "Wow, they just got overwhelmed today," and that's going to prevent them from being anything more than. You just can't go far like that. You can't. That's not. You're not going to be a credible team if you can't hold up against good defenses.
No, absolutely not. And the thing that the Browns had that the Cardinals probably didn't have, Chandler Jones was a marvelous player. Didn't have a sack in that game. J.J. Watt is still good. I don't think he's probably who he was. But what Cleveland had on Sunday was Clowney and Garrett.
Yeah.
And Clowney was outstanding. Like, yeah. When he's healthy, he's still a really good player. And they just didn't have an answer. Here's one thing I think for this game. I think it's rolling the dice a little bit, and I get it, it's chancy, but I think you got to do it. I think you got to go to Christian Darrisaw at left tackle, because Chip,
yeah.
Rashad Hill, yeah, can't do, he can't do this.
I know. I agree, but
I don't love it. I just think you have to do it.
And I'm sort of torn on this, Judd, because I sit there and think, God, he's missed so much time. What's his football shape? But then I just said, you can't get in football shape in practice. You have to get it in game.
Correct.
So, I mean, like, you can practice all you want, but it's not going to be the same as game. So at some point you just have to kind of, I don't say sink or swim, but you know, you have to get out there and just fight through it, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, if they feel like he's physically okay, I mean, there's going to be rust and he's probably going to be timing going to be slow, but, I agree. The left tackle is the problem. I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
And at some point you can't just keep covering up and helping them, because it limits what you can do offensively. And I feel like they probably are at that point to some degree with Rashad Hill, that they have to put so much emphasis on trying to protect and help him out that, you know, you might be just tearing some plays out of your playbook because you can't get to him. Right.
Absolutely. And Rashad Hill was never signed to do this.
Like, no.
He is a backup. If Christian Darrisaw or O'Neal get hurt during the course of a game, Rashad Hill was signed to come in and replace them and do the best he possibly can. But this notion of, well, we're just going to start him at left tackle and he knows the system. And, you know, that's the thing about this sport, and it's not just a Vikings thing, but across the board, the stubbornness, right? The stubbornness of, well, he knows our system and we trust him. I actually feel empathy for Hill trying to watch him block Miles Garrett. Look at his contract. Look at his status. He has no business being asked to start that game. He is a backup. You drafted Darrisaw for this assignment.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't think they envisioned Rashad Hill being in this position, right? They took Christian Darrisaw, think he was going to be day one. Did they do enough due diligence on his injury in the draft lead up to realize that, hey, he's going to need another surgery on this, or maybe it's not? Well, that's a different conversation, but they clearly went into this thinking, okay, we got our left tackle, let's go start day one. I mean, if they thought, well, we'll get by with Rashad Hill for a year, and then, I mean, that was very short-sighted.
Not a year. Yeah. A few games. Yeah. That's all you can get.
Even then, I wouldn't have felt like that was if Darrisaw was healthy, came in and didn't have the thing, he would have been starting day one. Yeah. I mean, he just would have. And so, not saying I don't know how good he's going to be as a rookie, but this was not their idea, I don't think. I mean, this couldn't have been their plan.
No, there's two things on that line that were not their plan, and I guarantee it. And on both, I'm sure they would probably lie. the plan was not the plan was that Darrisaw was going to be fine. He wasn't fine. The other one that they would say, no, you're wrong, and I'm not wrong. Their plan when they drafted Wyatt Davis in the third round was he was going to be their starting right guard, because you don't move Ole Udo right before training camp to a position he has not played previously unless you're panicked.
And that one is more bewildering, I guess, to me, because, okay, he came in a little bit overweight. I wouldn't say like grossly overweight, but, you know, well, what is he not picking up? Like, what did he not pick up?
I don't know. And what did they
say? Udo,
and you know, Chip, they talk about how many times have we heard this chapter and verse? We break guys down. We do every, you know, like yeah. if he's not picking up stuff, he should. That's your fault. The Vikings' yeah. fault. Like you, yeah. you pride yourself on, you know, grading guys by that weird system Spielman has. So like, it's very weird, but it's very, yeah. but it's on you if he's not what you thought, because you had every, you tell us that you are so great at grading guys.
Yeah. And it's, I just assumed both of them would be starting week one, and maybe that's a, you know, you shouldn't assume that two rookies are going to, but I just felt like the bar was so low in terms of what was going to be considered an upgrade that, so I think definitely Darisaw, this, I even think White Davis probably, but that one I'm just, and I haven't sit here and broken down Uli Udoh's performance through four games, but I mean, you know, you would think
well,
White Cleveland, Davis.
He struggled, and he yeah. struggled. He's not a guard. Yeah. He's trying to learn yeah. the position. You know, I'm sure he's fine against, I'm sure against Detroit, he'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I mean, if they go in there and take him lightly, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose, but it's Detroit. They'll find some way to screw it up, but they're the ultimate get well game.
I believe if I'm not mistaken, Zimmer is at seven consecutive wins. He lost three in a row to them. They yeah. lost the season series. And I think Zimmer has won the past seven. And I know that Kirk as a Viking has never lost to the Lions. So
yeah,
if they don't win, yeah. blow it up.
If they don't win Sunday,
the head coach.
That'll be an interesting week in town next week, I think.
If they don't win on Sunday, I would imagine then that they won't beat the Panthers. And if they don't beat the Panthers and they're sitting at 1-5, I think that's the path to a coaching change at the bye.
Yeah.
But that's yeah. not gonna fix things. It's just gonna be a coaching change.
No, but I think they'll you know, it's funny. What do you think on Zimmer? I mean, I go back to the Parcells, you are what your record says. And Zimmer just, you know, I've seen good teams, I've seen bad teams, and we're a good team. And yeah, I understand that the teams they've lost to are 10-2, and they've lost to some good teams. I get it. But if you're a good team, you figure out how to win those close games. You execute in critical situations. You execute in 2 minutes. You do all those things that maybe not 100% of the time, but you win those games. And so I don't say, hey, you can see how they have performed in those critical situations and say they're a good team. I think they are a team with some star power, but a team with some star power and obvious flaws. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and I think with Mike, one is the post-game quotes now to me are as non-Mike as possible. He's in job preservation mode because you can't be Bill Parcells' best friend in life and now completely have forgotten. And a couple of years ago, you quoted Bill Parcells chapter and verse. And now yeah. and now it's I'm not discouraged by my run defense.
Yeah, I know.
Let's sit down and watch the film, Mike, because I'm going to tell you if you don't know why you're, I can tell you why a draw play on what second and 20, which gets 33 yards, is incredibly discouraging.
Do you think the I've seen good teams, I've seen bad, and we're a good team. Do you think he's trying to convince his players or his bosses?
I think he's trying to convince his bosses because I think he knows that he might be, he's the only guy in jeopardy at the bye. Rick Spielman's in no jeopardy. Kirk yeah. Cousins obviously is not. I think he's trying to convince his bosses to buy himself time. So that's my guess. But the reality is, and I appreciate this, Mike has been so honest in the past that yeah. now, but that now pivoting to that is just weird.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, I mean, you can't keep throwing fastballs, and come in there and lose your mind every game. So I understand trying to.
But the run defense just say, no, that was a disappointing performance.
Well, that's the thing. It's like we have a certain standard on run defense, and correct. That's not it. Yeah.
I'm not looking for a meltdown.
Yeah. But it's like, really? The run defense is good? I mean, no. I don't know.
You're getting gassed.
But yeah, it is interesting how he's handled some of these. Trying to the narrative with his team, and it does feel a little bit anti-Zimmer in some ways. So you make it makes you wonder if he's trying to send messages to his bosses like, hey, we're fine. This is going to be fine. You know, don't worry.
I also think he knows at this point there's no upside to potentially losing the locker room.
Well, that's it. That's why I said players, done. And that's why I said it is a message for players, too, because you wonder, you do not want that locker room to, you know, it's too early to check out. But if you feel like you're being blamed for stuff.
Yes.
That's where it could get dicey for him.
And somebody might have talked to him, too, because he has brought a full halt to the either directly or between the lines blame Kirk and the offense, which he was doing earlier this year. And that sort of come to a halt like during camp. There was always stuff about Kirk sideways shots. I feel like the last one that was a real shot was at halftime of the preseason opener, I believe, when
we hold it too long.
No, week one.
The Bengals game.
Week one. That's the last time that we sort of heard him dump on Kirk, and you're like, okay, Mike, your defense is not the greatest, so that might be a dangerous route. I wonder if somebody got to him and said, you're doing absolutely no good by jabbing Kirk and the offense when your defense is not great. So now it seems like he's defaulted to everything's fine.
Yeah. Well, the Bengals one, remember it.
That's right.
That whole thing was a disaster, and he told the sideline reporter that the quarterback's holding on to the ball too long. It's like, that was not the issue. So it almost like that was his default setting back then. It's like, all right, whenever something goes wrong, I'm going to blame the quarterback. But he's not doing that anymore. So I don't know. I mean, Judd, it's weird. They look good at times, and then you see them like in the 2 minute right at halftime where they just have a clock management issue or breakdowns, and just they're just not good enough to win in those situations right now, because they're just, you know, for myriad factors, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, whatever. It's just like they're good teams win those games, and they're just not. So I don't know how you can say they're a good team.
And spending a lot of your off-season cash on defense, especially when it's on guys like Breland and Peterson, actually I think has played pretty well. But the fact is, like we talked about this, the theme after they signed guys, Chip, in March into basically the spring was, you see, Kirk's contract doesn't stop you from signing guys. And I said, hold on a second here. I said, Dalvin Tomlinson was a pretty expensive investment. But beyond that, you basically went to garage sales and picked up guys from the garage sale heap. So don't confuse names like Patrick Peterson. He's could be in the Hall of Fame. That's true. But he's not a great player still. So I think we got taken with, well, look at the amount of money they spent on defense. And what we didn't parse apart was, okay, they did put a lot of their focus on defense, but it's not like they signed a potential Pro Bowl end. They tried. They couldn't get it. You know, Dalvin Tomlinson, in sort of a weird way, is asked to move from nose to three tech. And I guess the last 2 weeks, he's graded out great on PFF. But that's where the eye test has to come into play too. And when teams are gashing you in the run, that's not great to me. But I think that was sort of a point of confusion where Vikings supporters were like, Kirk's contract doesn't stop you from doing a thing. No, that's not true. It really does.
Yeah. And it's not like they were giving these guys other, you know, like Breland or McKenzie, Alexander, or whoever, massive contracts. Cool. I mean, you're getting, but a lot of times, and I fall in that trap too, like, you sign a veteran that's played a lot of football and you just assume you're getting the previous version. Well, you don't know what there's going to be some drop off. You know, you're not getting a Patrick Peterson all pro. He wouldn't be available for you if that was, you know, if he was at his prime and at his best. So, but I think he's actually been pretty good, but you're right. They spent money, but it's not like they went and got that, the best offensive guard on the market or the top defensive end. So, I don't think that's the same conversation. No, at all.
I have an incredible stat to share with you, Chip Scoggins. We've talked about this on Mackie and Chud. We've talked about it on Purple Daily this week, and we will now bring it to Purple Access. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, delved into the snap counts for rookies through four games. Do you care to guess the snap count for Vikings rookies in 2021 so far?
Total?
Total.
Or just, nope. So the
four games.
Just off Four games, offense and defense?
Yep.
Or not special teams?
No, no. Okay. Not special teams. Snaps.
Who are the rookies?
And who's playing? This is exactly right.
That's a good first.
So Darisaw probably had – Darisaw hadn't had an offensive one.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yep. Wyatt Davis hasn't played.
No. And I'm trying to think of any guys that have been in there on –
Kellen Mond, obviously.
Kellen Mond, defense. Who's their top defensive guy? Holy cow, have they had any?
9 through 4 games. Let me put that in context for you. Second on the list, the Seahawks, 46. Third on the list, the Rams with 91. Fourth on the list. So we're talking about the bottom here, okay? The bottom.
Yeah.
The Titans, 142. Fifth on the list. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with everybody back from a Super Bowl champion, have employed their rookies for 144 snaps. The Vikings have gotten 9 snaps from.
Who are the 9? I don't know who would have the snaps. Mayor
Smith Marsette might have been on the field for a few snaps on offense.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he was active till he got hurt. Yeah. I have to look at the draft.
This is
a great question.
Judd. How many guys did they draft, too? It was like 17 guys or something.
The thing is, we get so caught up with, oh, man, Rick Spielman went to the store, and he came home with all of this stuff, and it's like, and now we have to throw most of it out.
Well, it does speak to – I know. There's part of that is Zimmer telling Spielman, I'm not relying on rookies.
Correct.
After last year, and I want veterans on defense. But 9 is – holy cow. That's staggering. That is last by a mile.
Yes,
right. Not even close. 46 was the second
for Seattle. So it's not even close. Even close.
Wow. Well, obviously that'll change once you get Darisaw up to speed, and he'll you know become an every down guy, I would think. But
I mean, we thought
other than that
we
yeah,
thought Wyatt Davis was going to start. We thought that you know these guys that some of them, not all of them, might get on. The field.
Well, we didn't think defense when he signed all his veterans. There was
no right.
Of a veteran. Yeah.
All right. Let's go through the draft class. Christian Darisaw hurt, might play on Sunday, which to your point would change that drastically. Kellen Mond in the second round, third round pick. This was a weird one. The 15th pick of the third round, former college quarterback turned linebacker Chaz Surratt. So he wasn't going to play because he's not prepared to play. He's not even close to being prepared to play. Wyatt Davis, another third rounder. Their third round pick, Patrick Jones, the second defensive end from Pitt, who I heard good things about.
Me too, yeah.
In the camps. And I think he's, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's been inactive for all 4 games so far.
Yeah.
The fourth round picks were Kanae Nwangu, the really quick running back who's
running
been
back,
activated now.
He's back, right? Yeah.
Who I actually like. He's the type of guy I think the Chiefs would perfect. Like, he'd have a role there. Defensive back Cameron Bynum. He's played some snaps. I think he's one of the guys. Yeah. Defensive end Janarius Robinson, Amir Smith Marsette, Zach Davidson, and Jalen Twyman, who I think the defensive tackle, I think he got shot and he's been on a reserve list. But anyway, but the point is 9 snaps from rookies, Chip.
That's
bad. That's just flat out bad.
Well, go back to last year. I remember asking Zimmer after one of the games where they played, I think it was something like 8 rookies. And I remember asking him, I was like, I don't remember ever 8 rookies playing in a game, you know? And he's like, well, we normally don't have that many in a draft class, you know? So it's done a 180. And I think Zimmer just said, forget the young guys. I'm going to experience now again. This was not their plan with Darisaw. They expected him and probably Wyatt Davis to be in there. So, but the injury skewed that. But man, 9 after 4 games, 9 snaps.
But I mean, and nobody, and the thing about it is, it can't just be your first round pick. Well, our first round pick, he was hurt, so you don't understand. You have to cut us some slack.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 5th from last, and they've returned everybody, and they have found a way to get more than 100 snaps from rookies. And that's on Rick. Like that, I'm not going to blame Mike for that one. That's on the GM.
Yeah, and that's Zimmer has mentioned a couple times personnel.
Oh yeah,
in answers.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's a disconnect there. There's no question in my mind. There is a wide disconnect, And it feels like they rotate on picks, like, okay, this pick's for this year, but next pick's for me for, you know, 2025.
Your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn.
Exactly right. All right, last thing. In fact, you know what? Before we get to that, though, oh, my goodness, how could I forget?
My favorite part of the week.
Oh, it's my favorite part of the week, too, because this is what I know is, I'll bring it up slowly, it's in the Scoggins refrigerator. I know it is.
It is.
Surly Furious IPA. They not only sponsor this show, Chip Scoggins, but when it comes to Purple Access, they sponsor it. They're behind it. They're the presenting sponsor. Surly Brewing, we wouldn't be here today without them. And that means that you should pick one up. And heck, it's just great beer. In fact, you know what? Chip Scoggins, I'm going to turn it to you to tell me your experience with Surly and Surly Furious in particular.
I love it. Not only do they sponsor this show, they sponsor my evenings. So that's when I'm at home watching some sports. I like the tall ones. That's the 4-pack with the tall ones. Oh yeah. So that is my go-to beer. I love it. It's my favorite IPA, and there's always some in my refrigerator.
That's because Chip doesn't settle. He gets surly. All right. Predictions, thoughts on Sunday. The Lions, offensive line's in shambles. The Lions are 0-4. They're in shambles. It sounds like tight end TJ Hawkinson has a knee. He might not play. Penei Sewell's been moved to left tackle to replace Taylor Decker. But it sounds like Sewell's now battling an ankle problem. We don't know if he's going to play. Get well game for the Vikings. My question is, how well do they get, in your opinion?
I think they get well, and I think it's big. I think Detroit's beat up and not very good, and just they're the Lions. So I could see it being a 10-12 point win for the Vikings. I think they roll and do it pretty easily.
Declan Goff.
I think it's unfortunately going to be a closer game than we want it to be. Yeah, they should kick their butts. They absolutely should. But I do think it's going to end up being kind of a trappy game and the Vikings win, but I'm going to stick to my write that down prediction. That's less than seven, but by 7 points or less, I think it's going to be within a touchdown. I think it's just going to be uncomfortably close, because that's how it goes with this team.
I'm going 10 points or more, because this is a Vikings get well special. Kirk Cousins and Zim are going to band together to show you naysayers that you never should have doubted them. And I think the Lions are just a mess. I mean, I think Dan Campbell means well, and I think his team plays hard right now, but I don't buy that guy is a professional coach. I just don't. Strikes me as a college coach, not a professional coach. So, all right, boys. Chipper, we'll talk to you Purple Access next week. Appreciate it as always. See you at the game on Sunday. Once again, Purple Access, part of the Purple Daily brand. Presented by Surly Brewing, and also our friends at TCL. Enjoy more with TCL. We'll talk to you next week.